Hi, Vicky.
Hi, Tara. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Good.
Yes, we're on the other side of winter now. So
that is spring is in the air.
Spring is in the air, for sure.
Yeah. So the clocks have changed for you already.
Yes. You know, I didn't realize that it wasn't the same for you, that I guess it makes sense, right? In terms of the positioning of the earth, and that makes sense. Now it makes sense, but I wasn't really, but yeah, it's the clocks have changed. So what that means for us is we get much more light in the day and I love that, you know, so it's good. It's healthy.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. Yes. And we will be joining you with more light in the day on Sunday. Our clocks change, so
Sunday.
I think it's this Sunday. Yeah,
okay.
I think so. Yes, last Sunday of March. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Oh. So I was having a think about what we could talk about today, and something that through a couple of conversations that I've had, and just generally, you know, thinking about the solution focused approach in particular, that I think we can kind of just take it for granted about what it is and what it means. And that on reflection, perhaps for some people, that solution focused approach or that solution based approach, they might not know exactly what that is, or understandably, based on what it's called, might make some assumptions around what that means in terms of, you know, in a therapeutic conversation or in an everyday conversation.
Yes.
So I was wondering whether you and I could just spend a little bit of time sort of demystifying it.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And I do, I, you know, what I think part of the issue is with solution focus is that the name itself is a little misleading, right? Whereas with other approaches, with other therapeutic or communicative approaches, you actually have to look up what it means, right? Mm-hmm. Solution focus has an obvious sound to it. And the message is, well, we're focused on solutions. So one might interpret that as being, well, if we're focused on solutions, then we're certainly not focused on problems, right? And so people who may have had exposure to other therapeutic approaches might think that solution focus is a departure from appropriate or more conventional forms of therapy. And in a way it is, but it's certainly very meaningful. And it's not at all about not attending to the problem, right? Yeah. It's very much about attending to the problem. So yes, I think this is a very relevant topic, and I think it's a good idea to just parse through a little bit today.
Yeah, brilliant. Yes, yeah. And I think that highlighting, you know, that, you know, in effect, using the solution-focused approach is not about being problem-phobic. You know, it's not, as you were sort of describing, that there is lots of space to talk about the problem.
Yes.
And
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you go.
Yeah, I think that part of what happens in conversation with people when they want to explore the problem is that, you know, we are all very comfortable talking about the problem, right? So maybe if solution focus is being interpreted as not discussing the problem, some people might think, well, wait a second, I want to talk about the problem, and maybe in a solution focused environment, I can't.
Right? Absolutely. And I think that if that's what people might think it is, then that could put people off. You know,
yes.
like that's even before, like you said, some approaches they can look it up and where, oh, it's solution focused. Yeah. This is not about, there's no space here to talk about problems. Yeah. That's not for me. I need to be able to talk about this. So that one, not right for me.
Yeah.
That one off.
Yes.
But, and I think it's important, like you have said, you know, we are comfortable and it's quite natural to want to talk about the problem. And, you know, neurologically, with the way that our brains function, we are more likely to talk about the problem instinctively than we are to not. So I think, you know, what might be useful for us to do today is to think about, well, what does a solution-focused conversation look like?
Yes, yes.
And I think, you know, from the outset, you know, a solution-focused conversation is very unique to that individual and to the moment. You know,
yes.
So every conversation, no solution-focused conversation is the same. No conversation is the same. So, but if somebody wants to have the space to talk about the problem in a solution-focused conversation, then lots of space is given.
Yes.
For that to be shared.
Yes.
And I think what we can kind of look at is what sort of comes after that, you know.
Yes.
So that space to be truly heard, you know, again, like we were talking about previously in our last podcast about listening to understand.
Yes.
So that's really listening to people and giving them the space to talk about the problem. But I suppose what we don't do in that space when the problem is being shared is that we don't ask for more detail of that.
That's
that
right.
We're not analyzing it or we're not asking why. So,
Well, I think what we're doing is that while it is very cathartic to talk about the problem, right? So for example, let's imagine that a parent is sharing their dilemma that they are having with their child. Now they know their child very, very well. And so it's very comfortable for them to talk about that problem. And it's also very cathartic. It's very liberating to be able to vent and to be able to say, you know, my child is just causing such grief, right? And just to go on and on about it. And because they know their child very well, they're very good at discussing the problem. So there is also a sense of empowerment, personal empowerment in sharing the problem. As solution-focused communicators, what we're going to do is we're going to listen to that catharsis and we're going to provide space for that emotional exploration, really, of the problem. But at a certain point, we are going to say, okay, it's time to pivot, right? And we may use a variety of different tools. So for example, one of the tools might be to say, well, what is working with your child? Let's explore that for a moment. So we're not ignoring the problem. We're not negating the problem. What we're saying is, once we've learned about the problem, what can we do to shift our mindset so that we can move into a more productive space, more productive stance, right?
Yeah. And I suppose that's, you know, kind of really highlights what is distinctively sort of different about what happens in a solution-focused conversation.
Yes.
So there is that space that to be heard and to be able to share the problem. And then as you just beautifully described, that pivot, you know, and that we can ask people, so what's working? Yeah. And also another sort of solution-focused tool, which is quite often very much, well, happens at the beginning of a solution-focused conversation is, so what are your best hopes? You know, if the situation with your child was to be better, what would be happening instead of what's happening now? So the person has had the space to talk about problem, and then we're looking for that gentle future focus. So what's preferred, what we would describe as the preferred future? So what is preferred in this situation? You know, then we've got that platform, you know, on the sort of the problem, and then it's the sort of jump, that gentle kind of taking it into the future. What are your hopes? And I think that kind of makes me think about when people come to see a solution-focused practitioner or to see somebody else, that, you know, the hope is that things will get better. That change will happen. So in that beginning, we're kind of thinking about, so what would that look like? So we all know what we're working towards.
You know, and I mean, we see it that way, but if you think about historical therapeutic approaches historically, were they really about that? Were they really about seeking help from a practitioner in order for things to get better? Or were they more about seeking help from a practitioner to get to the root of the problem? So I think that there is a bit of a shift in mindset there to say, you know, in a solution-focused conversation, while we want to understand the problem, we don't really need to get to the root of the problem. We just need to understand the problem so that we can work with what it is that we want. And what would be a better reality that we could work with. And then it's a question of just setting realistic goals, right? Realistic goals that and steps towards what it what our best hopes are. So it is I think that it's an important conversation to have with people. Maybe prior to the solution-focused conversation, right? Because there are people that may want to just continue getting to the root of the problem, There are. And here's the other thing that I think about with solution focus is that in order for people to be helped and to move forward in whatever issue they're dealing with, there has to be a willingness, right? And there isn't, you know, so that's an interesting question. How do we approach that in conversation, right? If there isn't a willingness, right? And, you know, you will have solution practitioners discussing that ad nauseum, right? How do you deal with a reluctant customer, right? Somebody who really ultimately doesn't want to be helped and just wants to continue parsing through the problem, right?
Well, and I think it's, it is an interesting question, you know, and I think what kind of came to my mind more as you were talking was that because people kind of have these assumptions about what these therapeutic or, you know, interactions might look like, that there's a lot of talk about the problem, a lot of time spent there and analysing it, and then that the practitioner takes a kind of an expert position and kind of gives advice. And where as solution focused practitioners, we're, like we said, we're inviting that sort of conversation around what's preferred instead. And we're also looking about, well, what's working in your relationships, if it's about, you know, as you, the example you gave. And so I think sometimes, even though people might, you might have told them what solution focus is before they come, I think sometimes they're still surprised by that.
Yeah. And that's where I think we need to, the wonderful thing about solution focus is that because our intention in the conversation is to make for change, make for productive, meaningful change, then we might gently challenge, right, the reluctant customer. So let's imagine that a parent said to me, well, you know, I don't think that my child is ever going to change. I don't think that anything is ever going to be different. And we're just stuck in this mess, whatever it is, right? Well, I might turn to the hypothetical. I might say, well, okay, so you really think that you're completely stuck in this mess and it would never change. But what if it could change even just a little bit? Right? So sometimes people are much more apt to contemplate that kind of conversation because it's a very non-committal conversation, right? It's hypothetical. You don't have to make a decision. You don't have to be accountable. You can just have a what-if conversation. I love the what-if in solution focus. The what-if, the suppose things could be better. What might that look like? You know, to me, that is our work as solution-focused practitioners, is to use those magnificent words that help people to kind of enter a new pathway in their thinking, to just contemplate something differently than they've contemplated it before. Yeah. Right. And we're not going to figure out that the magnificence of it is that by using a word like what if or suppose, or by using those, that language, they're going to do it themselves.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty, is that, you know, all we're doing is providing the environment for people to discover their own solutions. That's really what we're doing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I love that, you know, yeah, so important to highlight those sort of solution focused gems, you know, the what ifs and the suppose. And I think within that, around what you said as well about, you know, the small, you know, small, and I think the small change aspect of, you know, that small change can lead to bigger change, and starting small, tiny, but is so, I think sometimes, you know, can just be such a release for people when, you know, they've got this, they're sort of absolutely feeling like they're drowning in the issues. They can't see the wood for the trees, and it's kind of so overwhelming. And then you invite them to imagine what change would look like, and to think about tiny steps towards that.
Yes.
Then it's more achievable, more possible. Yes. And yes. I think you know, what we believe is in a solution-based practitioner, that, you know, is that belief in the people that we're having conversations with, and the belief that we believe in them, and we believe that change is possible.
Yes.
And I think that is something that is a co-created experience, you know, in that interaction, you know, and the difference that that makes, our belief and the questions that we ask, you know, then enables them to believe that change is possible, and they can start to think about those tiny steps that they can take together.
It's really, you're speaking to awakening belief. Awakening belief in oneself, right? And we know that when people are experiencing any kind of hardship, that's a personal struggle, the belief in oneself, right? We question ourselves, we question our ability, we question. Sometimes, you know, there can be a feeling of futility, but when you speak to our presence and our connection with that other person in the moment, as we believe in them, inspires belief, right? We know that a hopeful conversation sparks hope. You just have to have it, and it sparks hope, right? So
So if we were to kind of just to, you know, summarize what we were highlighting today in our conversation about, you know, demystifying the solution-focused approach, if we were to talk about what we do, what we do, you know, that we do give space to listen to the problem. There's lots of space for people to be able to share and to be validated and to be understood. And what we then do is very gently, with that person, invite a conversation around if that was to change, if that was to be better, what would be happening instead? What would that look like? And that when we do look into the past, that we kind of invite a conversation around, well, what's working? You know, or how have you coped? How have you managed? And then we'd kind of start to think about those tiny steps of small change. What else would you add to that, Vicky?
Well, I think that what I would say is that as people reflect on their best hopes, those best hopes are often a part of the fabric of what is already happening, right? So if people are thinking, well, it will be better when this occurs, or I will feel better when that occurs, or whatever, then they're probably thinking that way because some of that has already occurred anyway for them. It's accessible. Right? It's accessible. So we can work with that too. If it's accessible and it's been accessible to some extent in the past, then there's no reason why it could not be accessed again. Right? So often people's dreams and hopes are embedded in experiences that they may have already had that really served them well, or that made them feel hopeful and happy, you know, in different aspects of their lives.
Yeah. I love that.
Wow. So I guess, well, I think, yeah. Are we, how's our time? Are we ready to wrap it?
I think we are.
Okay. So this was a lovely talk. I think we could continue easily.
I think we could.
But that, I think that's a great start to demystifying. And maybe we can just add that the wonderful thing about solution-focused conversations is that they don't have to be in a therapeutic context.
Yeah.
That solution-focused conversations can happen with all of our relationships in every facet of our life. Yeah. And I think we touched on that quite a bit in our first podcast.
Yeah.
But that's, important that that's the wonder of solution focus is that it can be easily adapted for, just for communication purposes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And can happen in the corridor or in the car or, and be a really, really fleeting conversation. You know, I've got this issue, this is happening. And, you can use some of those wonderful solution focused tools in the moment. Yeah, definitely. Brilliant.
Thank you, Tara.
Thank you. See you soon.
Looking forward to next time.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.